trusting in the Lord that he shall be my helper, I would direct you to Psalm 22, reading the first two verses. Psalm 22, reading the first two verses. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. The 22nd psalm and the first two verses. I hardly know where to stop really with these verses that are before us. They're so interwoven, it seems, together. But there is a limit to what we can speak from, and I trust that the Lord has led me to this word, and I venture with it, trusting that he will open it up and meet our cases. Now, have you and I a case? That is the first question. For if we have not a case, my friends, there'll be no feeling. There'll be no desires, there'll be no longings, there'll be no fears, there'll be no felt darkness. But my friends, the psalmist, he had feelings. He was in a very, very dark place. And I know that, and we each know that this psalm refers to the blessed Lord Jesus. And we hope to speak a little as helped later on about that side of it. But my dear friends, David was brought into the experience here in these verses. He penned them. Not only could he, doubtless, he was used to pen these words with reference to the Lord Jesus, yet he was brought in the measure into the experience that he was writing on. So we read, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now notice, my dear friends, that he is able to call God his God, my God. Now can we each lay claim to this language, my God? You may be in the pathway that David was here, feelingly, utterly forsaken. And yet you may still be able to say, my God. You say, well, how come? Well, my dear friend, if you have an experience that you have come through and walked in, you know something of this great God. You've seen his hand. This great God has led you about. He's led you in the wilderness. He's cut you off at times. You've felt his absence. You've seen his delivering hand. You felt the blessed sweetness of His presence. And so, my dear friend, by faith, you are enabled to claim Him as your God, my God. And so David claimed Him as his God. The Lord had done great things for him. But now, look where David is. Look at the pathway that he's walking in now. The Lord had blessed him in days gone by. He had anointed him. He had told him that he should be king. But he's now going through the trials, the fires. You remember that David was left to sin against his God. He committed adultery. He committed murder, all through the lust of his heart. And you know the word of God says, as ye sow, so shall you reap. And David proved it. Because following this sin, this great sin, his son Absalom, he sinned. He committed adultery. He turned against his own father. And David had to flee for his life. He was hated, he was hunted, and so he was now living in the caves of the earth, in deserted parts of the earth, because his enemies hunted him. And even much worse than all that, his God, my God, he says, his God was hiding his face. He couldn't feel the blessed presence of his God, of his Father in heaven. He's brought to cry out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, my dear friends, I believe that all his dear people will be brought into this experience in some measure. You say, well, why? Why should everyone be brought into it? Why, my dear friends, because the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, he uttered these words when he was suffering for his dear people. His own beloved Father hid his face from him. And he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so, my dear friends, his people will follow in the same footsteps as the Master in their measure. And I believe there are those of you here that the Lord is teaching, and you have entered into this experience, and you may be there this morning, I know not. Lord knows. But I can tell you this, my dear friend, if you are there this morning, the Lord hasn't forsaken you. And David proved it. He proved that the Lord hadn't forsaken him. Why, he praised God in the end of this chapter, this very same chapter. And as you look back, haven't you cause? Haven't you been able to see his delivering hand? And haven't you praised him? You say, yes, I have, but now, it's now. It's now that I'm concerned about. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Ah, my friends, there's nothing more painful to the child of God than to feel that the Lord is absent. And not only that, that he cannot gain his ear. This is how it was with David, because we read that he says, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And it was day and night. Does it come, does it find you or me? How are you or me there now, feeling his absence, feeling that he doesn't appear for you? I will not forsake you. Ah, you might say, but I've got to prove it. Yes, you will prove it. We shall prove his faithfulness. His love changeth not. It is everlastingly the same. There is a blessed hymn, I can't quote it word for word, but it says, once in Jesus, in him forever. The love of Christ changeth not. My friend, we have to walk by faith. Then ask Jesus, has he ever shed his love abroad in your heart? Have you ever tasted it? Perhaps you say, yes, I dare not deny. Dare not deny that he's never been sweet to my taste. That I've longed to be with him, longed to hear his voice. But now, all is darkness. He seems to shut out my cry. The pathway that I walk in is full of things that I don't like, and my own heart, my own wretched heart, is bent on evil. My dear friends, we are no better than David, left to ourselves. David was a gracious man, one whom the Lord loved, but he was still only a man, and he sinned. He went into great depths of sin. He was left to go. He had to prove the weakness of his own heart, that he couldn't keep alive his own soul. And we have to prove it. We do, each of us, if the Lord is working in our hearts. I see more and more of this as I journey along. My weakness, my inability to keep alive my own soul. Ah, you sometimes may be like I am. I look upon some of the Lord's people and I think, yes, how different they are to me. They seem to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They seem to know so much more than I do. I seem to come so sure. Perhaps that's the feelings of your heart sometimes. And what does it do? It drives you to his feet. Lord, teach me. Teach me thy ways. Wean me from myself and this world. cast out sin, those reigning sins, those sins that you perhaps feel that will swallow you up, that will be your utter ruin. Doubtless David came into these six exercises and thoughts, for here he was, feelingly forsaken by his God. You might say, yes, that's just where I feel to be. The Lord has cut across my pathway. I have those thorns in the flesh that I have to carry about day by day. I have to live with them. And I'm ever for looking at them, rebellious, trying to put them right, sort them out. What does the Lord say? Commit thy way unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. My dear friends, the Lord doesn't need you and I to try and sort the pathway out and put the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. I don't mean that we have to sit down and in a lazy, unconcerned way. No, my dear friends, you will have to continually take it to the Lord. But the Lord chooses the way that you and I are to walk in. He chooses the pathway. You might feel it's rough and rugged. That perhaps is to your poor feet. But the Lord chooses the way, and he will bring you at times to be submissive, and you will be able to say, choose thou the way, still lead on. And I'll tell you when you'll be able to say it, when you have a little feeling sense of his presence in the way as you journey along, that have put everything right. You say, what, that cross that I'm carrying? Yes. Yes, that would put it all right. That would make you submissive. Our old flesh doesn't like to carry crosses. It doesn't want burdens and weights. No, it would cast them away if it could. But, my dear friends, we are exalted to take up our cross and follow him. You say, well, how am I going to take up something that I don't want, something that I don't like? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto him. He'll be the helper. He has said, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Then, forsaken soul, as you may feel to be, may you be enabled to rise up and look unto him who orders the pathway, both bitters and sweets. My dear friends, the pathway of his dear people is full of bitters and sweets. The Lord balances the clouds. He measures them out to his dear people. He knows when to lay them low, to bring them to his feet, to humble them. He knows when to bless them with a little felt sense of his blessed presence. He knows how to give us submission, to break down our own hard hearts, and to melt us before a blessed, holy God. He is a great God, a merciful God. He knoweth how to deliver the godly. He knoweth how to deliver them out of temptations. Haven't you proved that when you've been assaulted by Satan and his agents, that the Lord has come and made a way of escape and delivered you? He has held your hand. The Lord does not forsake his own dear people. But there is a solemn word, if ye forsake me, I will forsake thee. Ah, my friends, if we walk afar off, we shall find coldness, darkness in our souls. Haven't you proved it in your experience? My friends, the more we go after sin, the more we seek to satisfy our own hearts, the more we shall find coldness, spiritual coldness and darkness. It's these things, my friends, that bring us into these experiences. It was this that brought David into this experience. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the fruit of his sin that had brought him here, for he had sinned against his God. He had schemed how he should fill up the lust of his heart. You remember that King David, who was to be, he was king on the throne at this time, one particular time in his experience, and he saw that woman as he walked on the housetop washing herself. And he lusted after her. He went after her. He schemed. And he had her. And he was the means of killing her husband. Oh, my friends, the subtleness, the evilness of it. But the Lord solemnly brought him into judgment. Oh, how is it with you and I? You might say, well, I'm not guilty of that sin. Maybe you're not. But are there not other sins that reign in your hearts? The Lord knows. He knows what keeps us from him. And they do, my friends. If we go after sin, that keeps us from the Lord. It separates us. But if the Lord pricks our heart and shows us our guilt, my friends, this will drive you and me to the mercy seat. This will make a change in our hearts. You may then cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I have sinned against thee. I come desperately short. And his dear people are brought into this experience of travailing at the throne of grace. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season and am not silent. My friends, the dear Lord's people, they have to travail at the throne of grace. They have to plead and plead with the Lord for it to show mercy. You might say, well, that's where I am now. I feel he has forsaken me, and I'm begging of him day and night that he may visit my soul, that he may come and forgive my sins and give me that feeling, sense within my soul that he is my Redeemer, that he has put away my sins. Oh, there'll be much prayer, there'll be much travail and wrestling at the throne of grace. My dear friends, the Lord's people have to wrestle for his blessing. Jacob wrestled with God when he was on that journey to returning to his home. And he knew that Esau was on the way with all those men to fight against him, to kill him, to have his revenge upon his brother for what had taken place in the past. And Jacob was full of fear. He trembled before his God. Before his God. It was his God that had told him to arise and go to Bethel, to return. And that's just how it is, my dear friends, with his people. The Lord commands them. He tells them to walk in that pathway that leads unto eternal life, that pathway in providence. And then they find there's storms in the soul, in the heart, in the way that leads to eternal life. There's temptations of the devil. There's darkness. There's the hidings of the Lord's face. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The storms have come upon me. I feel thy absence. Cannot gain thine ear. Have I mistook the way? Am I wrong after all? And perhaps in that pathway of providence, the Lord has led you in that pathway. You have ventured as the disciples did of old, as they were told to go to the other side of the lake. And there arose a great storm and tempest, so much so that they feared their lives, that they would be drowned. But the Lord had bid them to go that way. He had told them to get into the ship and go. Did he leave them in the storm? No. He came to them. He helped them. He delivered them. He brought them through. And so it will be, my dear friends, in your life and my life, if we are being led about in this wilderness by the Lord. It doesn't matter, my dear friend, what storms you and I are brought into, spiritually or providentially. He'll bring us through, because he is the pilot. He is the one that is leading his dear people. He causes us to come into these storms. What for? Why, to drive us helplessly unto him. Save, Lord, or I perish. And that is the place, my dear friends, where the dear Redeemer draws near. He undertakes, he delivers, he helps, he preserves. Oh, the good hand of God, our Father is in heaven. We don't often feel, do we, perhaps, that we can call God our Father? But my dear friends, if you and I are chosen of him, he is our blessed Father. And we're his children. And he'll lead us and guide us. He'll take us by the hand and lead us. Oh, I think that is a blessed description of the Father in heaven and his dear people. Do you feel it, the need of it? I do, my friend. Oh, I do. I feel the need that he should take me by the hand and lead me about. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, my dear friends, I feel the Lord led me to these words to bring here, and it was not an easy path, it was a painful path. So I trust the Lord is in it, and if he is, my dear friends, that will find its place in your hearts, wherever that soul is, or souls that feels deserted. My dear friends, I sought the Lord all the week for a word to come with this morning, and I could get nothing, nothing. And I come many miles, and I felt, well, what a fool I was to come. I wondered what I was doing up this way last evening. But when I went to bed, I saw a text on the wall, on a calendar. And it said this, "My heart faileth." And that's just where I felt to be. And I pondered upon it, and this morning as I tried to find the place, because I couldn't see where the place was in the darkness this morning, and I looked in the Psalms and my eyes fell upon these words that I've read, and I venture with them, and that's how the Lord led me to them. I felt forsaken, but the Lord knows. It may be, as I've said, there is one here that feels forsaken. Well, I hope the Lord will hear and answer your prayers and mine this day. And I hope that he will still lead us, if it's his will, further into these words, and help and open them up this afternoon. Oh, may the Lord be with each one of us. May he give us to feel that his presence is here, and that he has ordered this pathway that we are in. That second hymn I felt was a blessed word. That third and fourth verse, I think it was, "Then be not afraid, all power is given to Jesus, our head, in earth and in heaven. Through him we shall conquer the mightiest foes. Our captain is stronger than all that oppose. His power from above he'll kindly impart. So free is his love, so tender is his heart. Redeemed with his merit, we're washed in his blood. Renewed by his spirit, with power with God. May the Lord bless a few things for his name's sake. Amen.